Three, two, one, clap. Cool.
It's the best that's ever gone. Clap, everybody. That's.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom of Good Home. My name is Michael Hing, and this is a podcast all about classifieds. I'm joined, as always, by a man who made me change the intro because he hated it. It's Ben Jenkins.
We can ask our guest what he thought of the old intro. You can do the old intro, and he can.
Sure.
He's a comedy professional.
Yeah,
we've only been doing this for 160 something episodes.
Let's bring in our guest then. You might know him as a writer on shows like Mad TV and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You might know him from his work on Star Trek Lower Decks or Auntie Donna, where he played the King of Dance. You might know him from some of his all-time great appearances on Comedy Bang Bang or his own podcast, The Flagrant Ones, that he does with the guys from Hollywood Handbook. Would you please welcome our guest, actor, improviser, and comedian, Carl Tart.
Woo! Oh my gosh. Hey, am I famous in Australia because of Auntie Donna?
I mean, yeah, but I don't know if you're like famous, but like Auntie Donna's pretty big.
And I would
so
say
people associated with that.
I would say you're cult famous. Not in the way that like Charles Manson is cult famous. I mean, like you're famous like in the way that like Auntie Donna is a kind of beloved cult classic here. And I think you're recognized from that.
Got you. So I can walk through the streets and people will be like, oh my God. Oh no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do all that.
Walk through the streets of London Town, maybe.
Oh my God. Oh my golly.
How are you, Carl? Thanks for doing the pod.
Thank y'all for having me. I'm not going to do the accent no more.
You're welcome.
I don't think we've had a single American guest who hasn't wanted to do the accent.
I mean,
it's a fun accent to do, though.
It's the best one. Like
Matt Chrisman opened with the accent. I think Jordan Morris opened with the accent.
Yep. John Gabris did the accent.
Yeah.
People love doing the accent.
And look, we sound funny. It's like there's no way around it. We sound ridiculous.
Y'all's is definitely better than London, England accents. I was in Ireland and Scotland doing some tour shows for this thing I used to do, and man, there was a point where I was like, oh, we technically are speaking the same language, but I don't know what the hell y'all talking about right now. When they get into it, they get into it.
Because there are quite a few Australians in LA, I guess people who've gone over to like make it big or whatever in Hollywood, etc., working cafes and that. What's the stereotype that like Americans or local LA people would have of Australians in LA? Like, what do you think of us over there?
I think the stereotypes mostly, I mean, y'all are not, we don't really think about y'all that much. That sounds mean. We don't really be sitting around being like, man, I bet Australians are doing this right now.
So would you say the stereotype of being fairly needy is potentially one that's accurate?
Nah, we definitely know. We think y'all love snakes. This, I'm just speaking from my own heart because not all Americans are the same the way y'all think we are.
Of course. But,
that's true. Of course.
I think y'all love snakes way too much. I think snakes are like cashiers at grocery stores over there.
Wearing a little apron.
Yeah.
How do you like, tie that up? What does it rest on?
Can I help
you? Got
you
no shoulders.
Can I help you take your bags to your car? I'm a big basketball fan. I think y'all are the dirtiest players in the league. I hate Joe Ingles. I hate Joe Ingles with the passion and fire of a thousand suns. He can kiss an ass. But other than that,
I didn't know that. I didn't know that Australians are known as like filthy basketball players. Dirty basketball players.
Disgusting.
Filthy. Yeah.
I mean, like cheating Australians.
Like Patty Mills is pretty cool. He'll do something dirty every now and then. Ben Simmons can't shoot. That's one thing about him. That has nothing to do with other Australians because Joe Ingles can shoot, but Joe Ingles is a dirty bastard, and I can't stand him. And I hope his family is listening to this. You can come see me. In America, we got guns.
We have a former professional basketball player who listens. Who is it, Michael?
Is it
Andrew Gaze? No.
No, it's not Andrew Gaze. Is it? There is a guy who used to play in the NBL, which is our version of the NBA, which is like, you know.
Oh, yeah. I went and watched the Clippers played against one of the NBL teams in the preseason one year.
Did the Clippers just crush? Did they crush them?
You know what was like in true Clipper fashion? We were losing at halftime by one, and then we came back and whooped on them. But it was like, I cannot believe that we are losing at halftime
to an Australian team basketball randomly. Team.
Yeah.
AJ Ogilvy is the Australian basketballer who played.
And do you know what, Michael? You were too cowardly to do this shout out, and I'm going to do it to Ogilvy now. Carl, we don't really know how to do merch at all for this podcast, but we did. Well, Michael made a series of water bottles that had written on them, not full of cum.
You can see it right here. See, okay. It says
not being filled with cum. Sorry.
Not also, filled with cum.
What's so funny is because you got your background blurred out. It blurs the letters on there. Yeah. And so it looks
so sensitive.
Yeah.
And I said to Hing, we should get in touch with Ogilvy and give him a free one to have courtside. Because I feel like that would be a real coup for us. And incredible optics. So if you're listening...
But I thought it might bring him into disrepute if...
Undoubtedly it would do that. hey, guys, we were talking about accents before. And this week I've been spending... Because I'm not working this week. And so I've been spending a lot of time with my son. And he's like 2 and almost 3. And I've realized, talking to him a lot, that like... his Russian accent is approaching like Bond villain levels. Because Carl, he's an Australian boy, but his mother-in-law looks after him for most of the days.
Not his mother-in-law, his grandmother, Ben. His grandmother. Your mother-in-law. Your 2-year-old son isn't married to someone whose mother is looking after him. That would be awful and wild.
I'm like, okay, y'all do it different over there. All right.
So Ben's Russian mother-in-law has been raising, has been helping out a lot with.
She's not raising him. I mean, like that's probably overstating it somewhat. But she certainly does spend enough time with him that he's this toddler with this like really thick Russian accent. And yesterday he was having like a real time. I don't know if you know this about toddlers, guys, but they do not like to nap. And I said to him, Moses, it's time to go downstairs. And he looked at me with his little face and said, Daddy, can I kick you in the face?
Evil.
And I wouldn't let him. Evil. I wouldn't let him. I said, no. Hey, I drew a line.
It's very big of you, Ben.
I said, you're not going to do that, buddy. You're not going to kick Daddy in the face. And then he went through different parts of my body that he
wanted to kick you in.
Because he's a negotiator. In the end, we ended up on hands. He could kick me in the hands.
You are joining us in, I think, week 13 of our lockdown, Carl. So we haven't been out of our houses in about 13 weeks because this thing called the coronavirus has found its way to Australia.
Well, I don't know if you read the news, but...
Yeah, but it seems like things... Yeah.
And I'm proud to be an American. go ahead.
Because I feel like you guys are a bit more free over there right now. You're allowed to leave your house. There's even like live gigs and stuff happening in LA right now, yeah?
Yeah. LA is making a push next week. I believe to require vaccines for every indoor space, which hasn't been, it's been owner discretion recent, which, you know, is not great.
Sure. Yeah.
I did catch a bout of fully vaccinated breakthrough.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, so you were vaccinated and you copped it. Are you all right? How'd you go?
I got a little Delta. Mm-hmm. I had a little Delta in my life. Only thing I hurt was my pocketbook. I was working on a film at the time, and the film only had so many days to shoot, and they was like, my brother, deuces to you. But other than that, I was fine. I did lose my taste and smell, which was very hard for me, a food connoisseur.
Was there anything? Did you use it as an opportunity to like try and eat something fucked that you previously didn't like? Were you like, I've always hated cabbage? Because if I lost my taste, and I was like, I've always hated cabbage. Let me try it now that I've got COVID and see if it's the texture of the cabbage I handled it. Well, just to test. I don't know.
I didn't try that. I didn't do that. I kept
not a time for science experiments.
Carl, I'm shocked that you didn't do that pointless thing.
No, the whole time everybody kept saying that too, and which was very offensive. Everybody kept being like, oh man, now is the time for you to completely change your diet and start eating healthy. I said, fuck you. What are you saying? I'm gonna eat bullshit and I'm not gonna taste it. Just for my own mental health. But yeah, everybody was like sending me messages being like I swear to you, literally 10 people were like, oh, you can't taste and smell? Okay, well maybe now you should start eating some salads.
That's so rude.
Like, I just did that. You just did that exact thing, Michael.
No, but I wasn't saying eat healthy. I was saying eat something you've always fucking hated.
Oh, he was saying go eat some shit. Okay.
Yeah, I was saying go and eat a human turd is what I was saying.
Okay. No, that's a normal thing. Sorry. I stand corrected there.
So we've just been allowed this weekend to have picnics for the first time in about 13 weeks or whatever in Sydney.
So wild.
Yeah.
I can't, like, that to me doesn't fully, because y'all, wait, well, let me see where is y'all vaccine rollout at this point?
I think where we are, it's about the first doses are about 80%.
Yeah.
And second doses is about 45 or something. So the vaccine rollout's been pretty low because our government didn't buy enough vaccine.
Okay.
Which is real bad.
Okay, that'll make things. Okay, now I see why y'all had to go back on lockdown.
Yeah. So we've been locked down for a bit.
We are pretty vaccinated out here. Everybody who was going to get the vaccine originally has pretty much got
basically
it.
Yeah.
So it's just stragglers and anti-vaxxers who aren't.
Getting it. And those are the ones who are still passing around. I'm sure I got mine from somebody, which I just read a post that said doctors have found a new strain of COVID called Hovid, which is for the people who go to clubs and they know they got COVID, but they want to be hoes. And they still are passing around. I think I got mine from, I caught Hovid from somebody.
Do you have an idea? I mean, obviously don't say their name, but do you have an idea of who it was who gave it to you?
I don't know. And I don't know who it was, but I know where where it was and I know why it was. this place that I went to was I was going to see a buddy of mine DJ, and it was at a small venue, very small, very tight venue. A lot of people in there, very hot in the place. Uh-huh. So that meant that air circulation was low.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't have the AC popping like that, which helps. Like all these things help. Like it's like higher ceilings and AC is popping, like it's hard for the COVID to be COVID in the way it does. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But they did not have that. It was low ceilings. It was a lot of people packed into a tiny bar. And I was like, I'm cool. I'm vaxxed. I ain't tripping off of nothing. And then 5 days later, I go to work and they're like, boy, you got to go home. And so
this is where at least my mind is at right now. After it feels like so much longer than 13 weeks. I can't believe that.
It might be more than 13 weeks. I might have counted. But yeah.
You describing the act of getting COVID in a packed bar, the only thing I was thinking was, how nice would it be to be in a packed bar?
Yeah, I still got a lot of friends who are like being very, very cautious and serious about it. And I wasn't like, when I first got vaxxed, I was like, I'm in the streets. Like, this is what they told us. I'm out here. I'm not doing this. And then I ended up getting it. And because I was vaxxed, I did not have a severe case at all.
Yeah, you could just lose your taste of sense of smell and taste and eat all the poo you wanted.
Eat all the poo and dookie salad is what Michael Hing and my friends want me to eat.
Well, this is a podcast where we go through the week's classifieds and find the best and worst things available to you all. Carl, are you someone who buys and sells things online at all? Do you frequent Craigslist at all?
I do not frequent Craigslist. I don't be on there that much. I will get stuff. I mean, of course, Amazon. I buy a lot of Amazon stuff, and I buy eBay. But I don't frequent Craigslist. But I have bought stuff on Craigslist.
Oh yeah, what's the wildest thing that's happened? Have you got anything? What's the worst thing you've bought on Craigslist, or the best?
I'll tell you the worst thing I bought on Craigslist. The only thing I ever bought on Craigslist was my first car. It was a 2000 Toyota Camry in the year 2013 that I bought. It was a 13-year-old vehicle. I had just done a part in a commercial that was like real people try, but I wasn't a real person. I had to audition for it. But sorry Hollywood, but I'm giving away your secrets. But I had just done a commercial. It was like I was still like living at home. I was on public transportation, and Los Angeles public transportation is awful. It's the worst. I hated it so much. And so I had got a stack of checks, and I had gotten a hefty amount of money for a person who makes $0. And I was like, I got to get a car. I'm going to buy a car. And so I started researching, and I didn't know where to start because I'd never bought a car before. And so I called my former stepfather. He's no longer my stepfather. He's just, I guess, an acquaintance now. Uh-huh. But he's always, just like a guy who is in my life. But I call him, and he's a car guy. He's worked at many dealerships and stuff like that. And I say, hey, I'm looking for a used car. Here's my budget. Here's what I want to do. Can you help me out? He went like nuts about it. Like, this is what we got to look for. We got to do this. We got to do that. You need this, this, that. You need this requirement. You need that. And I was like, that's bullshit. That's going to elongate this process. I want to get a car now.
Uh-huh. And what advice were you kind of hoping for?
That he was just going to be like, yeah, I know a guy.
I got my buddy Steve. Yeah. My buddy Steve's got a car.
He's got a car for you, right. And it fits that price. But he was like, no, we got to go. We got to make a list. Here's what I need you to do. It was way too much work. It's like, go on Craigslist. Go on Auto Trader. Type in these specs. It needs to be a single owner. It needs to have this few miles. You don't need, you're not going to be, this is your first car. You don't need the car that you want. You're going to, you just get a car that fits these qualifications. And now that I'm older, I'm like, yeah, that's a, he was thinking smart. But then I was 22 and I was like, fuck what you talking about. I'm going to get a car that I want.
Hell yeah.
And so in my mind, I had always had this Toyota Camry in my mind that I was going to put 22-inch rims on and put a sound system in and stuff like that. It was that model.
And your dream car was a Toyota Camry?
At that time. Because it was an attainable dream car. You know what I mean?
Okay. That's a very realistic dream.
Yeah, it was a short term dream.
Short term dream.
Yeah. It was oh, okay, for who I am right now, I could get this car. I love the style of this car. It's a good car. It runs forever. Yeah. I can get this car and I can hook it up.
It's like a daydream car.
Yeah, daydream car. I can put my rims on. I can put my sound system in it. I put my Black Ice air freshener. Y'all got Black Ice over there?
The little Black pine Ice. Trees? No, oh yeah, I know the one. It's like they hang it from the mirror.
Yeah. So I'll send y'all some if you need it.
Appreciate it.
But I wanted this car, and then I found one, and he was like, always check the Carfax. Always check the Carfax on these cars. And we had gone through so many cars, and I was sick of looking for cars, and I was sick of looking at the cars that he was like, this is a good one. This is what you should buy. It was like a Mitsubishi Galant from like the Super Bowl. I was like, I don't want that. I don't want that car. That's not in my daydream. That car is not in my daydream. And so we keep looking. And then finally, I'm online one day. And it's like 9 in the morning. I just wake up. And I look on Craigslist. And I type in the specs that I want. And I find one. And I'm like, oh my God. This is like, this fits one of the things that he said. It's got decently low mileage, not great. It was it was way too many miles.
Okay, so not great mileage.
Not great mileage, but it was single. It was single owner. Uh-huh. At least that's what he said. Uh-huh. So I drive down to Orange County. I'm in Los Angeles. I drive down to Orange County. For those of you who don't know, this is like a 45 to 50 minute drive. I get a couple buddies of mine, and these guys are older than me. So I'm immediately like, yeah, they can be my influence, my mature influence is to go look at this car. Neither of them know shit about cars. I've learned that when I get there.
Were they the sort of people who sort of like radiate car knowledge without having any? You know what I mean?
They were just older than me. I was 22 and they were 29.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, they'll know. They're like real adults.
Yeah, yeah.
And now that I'm 32, I'm like, these fucking guys didn't know shit.
They don't know shit, yeah.
29-year-old, they don't know shit. And so I go down there, we meet this guy, dude's a creep, like really weird dude.
I mean, let's take that as a given, sure.
Yeah. He's an old man, but he's got a toddler with him.
Yeah.
Who's a kid? This ain't your son. Is this your grandson? No, it's my son. This say your goddamn son. You ain't have no son. You ain't got no 3-year-old. Man, you like 72.
Does this child have a mother-in-law?
Yeah. Is this child married? Is this child being raised by his mother-in-law? And so the guy tells me, he's like, it's only one owner. It's this, it's that. I'm not budging on the price. Well, I'm like, all right, man. All right. Let me test drive it. I'm test driving it. And every time and this is a learning experience. Uh-huh. Every time the car would shift, you know, go up, like, you know, you push mm-hmm. the gas and, you know, it was an automatic, but every time it shifted, it like jerked. Ba-boom. Uh-huh. Like that, right? And so I'm like, what is that? Why is it doing that? And he was like, man, it's an older car. Older cars do that type of thing. And I asked my 29-year-old friends, and they were like, yeah, man, it's an older car.
Oh, yeah, man. It's an older car. It's from the year 2000.
Yeah. And so I paid the guy the money that he's asking for. I got him down like by like $200, but it was still a lot.
That was smart.
Yeah. My budget was, I'll tell you this, my budget at the time was under $3,000. He was asking for $35 for this. And so I gave him $3,500. I only made $4,000 on this commercial. So I had like $500 left over. But I was like, you know, I got a car though.
Yeah.
$500 gas will last me for 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And so gas expensive in America at this time. It was a recession time, Obama era. I love Obama, but the gas was expensive. And so I get this car, and my ex-stepdad comes to pick up my little brother, who is his real son. And he sees the car, and he's just like, oh, okay. All right, well, you know, you happy with it? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm happy with it. He's like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, I found you a bunch. He said, open up the hood. I didn't want to open up the hood because I knew I had fucked up.
I don't think this is the kind of hood that opens.
Yeah.
It has to stay closed for some reason.
I'll show you the trunk. The trunk is spotless. Trunk is
want to see this cool air freshener I put in it?
Yeah. And so I'm like, damn, man, I know I fucked up because I forgot to read the Carfax. Mm. And then and then when I got home from giving this guy my money and driving this car home, and the car needed a paint job too. So everybody who just looked at it was like, this car needs a paint job. I'm like, yeah, you know, that's you know, you use car, you need a paint job.
Sure.
And then I started Googling, why does the car jerk when it shifts gears? Every article that came up, this is a sign of a bad transmission.
It wasn't just, this is what older cars do. That wasn't all the Google results.
If the car is 13 years old, if the car is old, this is what it, no. It was like, this is a sign of a bad transmission. You're going to need to replace your transmission soon. And here's how much transmissions cost. More than the $500 I had left over from the car.
So how long did the car last?
1 year. Now, here's the crazy thing. So I was moving out of the country. I was moving out of the country 2 weeks before, like 2 weeks after the car. One day I get in the car and I'm going and I'm like running errands because I'm about to sell the car. And I get in it and I put it in reverse and I push the gas a little bit and it doesn't go anywhere. Damn thing don't move a muscle. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And so I put it back in park. I put it in drive. It goes in drive. But it's still like, when you put it in drive, and it goes, go-gloom, like that. And then it drove. But I was like, okay, so it drives. I put it back in reverse. And then it just goes like a little bit. I Google what this is. If this is happening, your transmission has failed. Congratulations. And the Google said, congratulations, you dumb bitch. Your transmission has failed.
That was so rude of Google to just say that to you.
To be honest, I deserved it.
Yeah.
I deserved it. I should have read the Carfax. And I never told him, I had to sell the car to like a junk car guy. Gave me $1,500 for it. So I lost $2,000 on this car.
Did you tell your ex stepdad about your folly, about your foolishness?
No, I did not.
Well, hopefully he listens to this podcast.
Yeah. So that was my Craigslist experience. I'm glad I got to sell the car.
Man, that's incredible. Let's go through some classifieds we found. Kyle, I've just put a link in the chat if you want. I'll start off with this one. If you just click on the one that says freeway jerking off in that Google Drive. Yeah, okay.
It is a Sunday morning. Oh, speaking of, Michael, before you get in, I know we've had a lot of chat before we get into the the meat and potatoes of this podcast, but I think we would be remiss if we didn't do the favorite, the fan favorite segment of Snack Report. Carl.
Oh, yeah, you've got a snack for us today,
Ben? Carl, this is a segment where I talk about what I'm eating or drinking, and people just go nuts for it.
Mostly people enjoy it because I hate it. That's basically the
I mean, who can know the mind of anybody else? You know what I mean?
All right, what have you got for us,
Well,
Ben?
Michael and Carl, I felt like I needed a snack. It's about 10:45 in the morning on a Sunday, which is just the snacking hour. And I went to the pantry, and because we're in lockdown, we're getting like deliveries every like week, but like we're not working out the timing very well. So it was real slim pickings, I got to tell you guys. So I thought what I could really do is eat some of Moses's dried apricots. You know dried apricots? You guys got dried apricots over there? You know, until apricots, but dry. Yeah, you know what I mean, someone takes those apricots, dries them right out. They look like little ears.
So you're eating some of your son's food. Good.
Well, the thing is, they're his favorite thing in the whole wide world. Uh-huh. And there were like two left, and I could not bring myself to eat them. So what I did is I went to the fridge, and I thought, well, I have these fake beers that I've been drinking lately because
alcohol free beers
because I haven't been drinking in the past little while. And so I'm drinking an alcohol-free beer at 10:45 on a Sunday. And can I tell you that it's not a pleasant feeling? it's a really strange feeling because your brain thinks you're drinking a beer this early, which is fine. And then it reminds you that you're actually not, which is in some ways worse. And I don't know, man, like it's really throwing me for a loop.
So you're spiraling, Ben?
Spiraling is what I'm doing.
Your brain is telling you, wait a minute. So you're just doing this for the taste? At this time? Oh, my gosh.
Hey there. Just breaking in real quick here with an ad. Like a proper ad, not a goofy ad. There is a difference. We're now recording a lot of this pod with some gear from Rode, who are an audio manufacturer based here in Sydney. And their stuff is really, really quite genuinely good. They make stuff for podcasters, but also musicians, filmmakers, gamers, and even people who are working from home, which, let's face it, you probably are. You can check out their range of gear at www.rode.com. And as they say, realize your creative vision, unless that creative vision is something that competes directly with this podcast, in which case, please.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Do not do that. All right, back to the show.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can get you out of this spiral, Ben, with this wonderful classified. This is taken from Craigslist in the Waukesha area, I believe, or Waukesha area. I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm sorry. It's entitled Guy on the Freeway. It was posted about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And this is like a missed connection on Craigslist. We were both driving on the freeway when I looked over and there you were playing with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it. You're probably mid-20s age-wise. You didn't seem to mind that I noticed, and if I had to guess, we're probably the same age. Let me know what kind of truck you were driving, because I would have liked to look some more if I didn't have to pay attention to the road. That is Guy on Freeway in Waukesha in America. Now, this is taken from the male for male section of Craigslist, I should say.
Uh-huh.
So this is a man who's seen another man jerking off on the freeway, and has wants to get in contact. Now, first of all, obviously, Ben, this doesn't seem very safe.
Oh, look, I mean, like, you know, we have a credo on this podcast, which is
safety first,
absolutely. Which is, you know, if you, you know, consenting adults and all that, it's absolutely no judgment here, but this does strike me as somewhat unsafe. Especially given that it seems like this man was driving a truck.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be hit by anything, be it a big rig or a 2000s Toyota Camry with failing transmission, it's going to do damage, but like it does feel like a truck piloted by somebody distracted because they're jerking off could do a lot more damage.
Yeah. Carl, did you ever jerk off in your 2000 Toyota Camry while you were driving on the freeway?
No, I didn't. I didn't do that. It's dangerous to do that here. I mean, we got plenty. Traffic is bad in Los Angeles, but I never did that. Waukesha is in Wisconsin. I just had to Google it.
Wisconsin.
And it's very cold there, so it's amazing that this guy was still impressive in that type of weather. That the other dude was like, man, I'm trying to see this. I'm trying to see a little bit more of that. What you got going on in these Waukesha streets?
Do you think it just say there are two cars or a car and a truck going along the road, right? And one of the guy driving the truck is jerking off. The person in the other car is watching them.
Sorry, Michael. Is this a maths problem? Do I need to start?
Yeah, you have a lever, Ben, and you need to pull. No, so these cars are going down the freeway, and just say there's an accident that occurs at this point, right? You know, no one dies, but there's a bit of a prang, a fender bender or whatnot. The cops arrive. They kind of talk to everyone. Do you think the cops would be more angry at the man who was jerking off or the man who was just kind of ogling the man who was jerking off? Who do you think is more at fault safety-wise there?
Ogling guy.
Yeah, I think you're right because you – well, I mean, like nobody's covering themselves in glory here, to be honest. But like there's lots of distracting stuff every time you get behind the wheel. You know what I mean? Be it a humorous license plate. Or a funny-shaped tree, or a man pleasuring himself behind the wheel of a large semi-trailer. It's incumbent upon you to not ogle these things.
To navigate them.
Yeah.
Really? You agree, Carl?
What you're supposed to do is mind your business when you do that. That's one thing.
What interests me about this is the guy says, hey, if you ever want to do that when you're not driving your car, let me know, right? That's basically what he says, right? So, like, the only thing that attracts this person to this other person isn't the fact that they're... Like, because I can understand somebody being like, oh, man, it's my fetish to jerk off behind the wheel of a car, and if you ever want to do that, I'd like to come along or whatever. Like, that is explicable to me. But the only thing that this guy is like, oh, hell yeah, is that this man jerks off. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He's like, can we please just take all the car stuff out of it? You person who's looked basically the same age as me. And he doesn't even say you were gorgeous. He says, like, I just saw you jerking off. My God.
Doesn't even say that he had a nice hug. Does
no, he doesn't. Not even, he just says you were jerking off. Could you teach me?
Just a man who doesn't know how to jerk off and is looking for lessons.
I've grown up in the conservative mountains of Wisconsin my whole life. I've never pleasured myself. When I saw you doing it, it freed me. I wouldn't denounce my religion.
It freed my mind as you were driving on the freeway.
I am no longer a Quaker.
Yeah, now we Quakers have one rule, and that is safety first. So I would be remiss if I asked you to do it again in your car. Oh, man.
I will say as well, I guess he says pleasuring. He says, I saw you were there playing with yourself. I guess we don't know that it was jerking off. I've assumed it's jerking off.
What, you think
he could have been sucking himself off, you know?
Could have been on a Nintendo
Switch.
Two
bottom ribs removed. You guys have that urban legend in your...
We
in
do.
Australia?
We do. Yeah, but unlike a lot of urban legends that come to Australia, we haven't swapped in an Australian celebrity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's still Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Manson. But in Australia, it's not like we've been like, Russell Crowe got his ribs removed to suck his own dick. I can't imagine if Russell Crowe ever heard me say that, he would find me and kill me. I think he would be not humoured about that.
Yeah, I saw Russell Crowe on Twitter the other day. He has a legitimate stalker, which must not be pleasant. But he found out who he was and posted a photo of him and then threatened to hit him with a truck.
Man, it would be so crazy to be that famous.
Imagine, Carl, imagine that you are doing nothing less than the sort of, you know, all-Australian, all-American pastime of stalking Russell Crowe from Gladiator. And you're walking down the street And you look up, and there behind the wheel of a truck is Russell Crowe coming at you, and he is jerking it.
He's just playing with himself, so he's just going with his finger on.
Ben, do you have a classified for us?
I do, and I you know, we like to break up the filth on this show, because we're not Australian basketballers after all. But this one is also of a sexual nature. This was taken from a corner of the internet I like to call Reddit. Mm-hmm. It was sent in by one of our beautiful, great, wonderful listeners, whose name I have written down in anticipation of saying it, so I'm not furiously scrolling through our web page to find out what mm-hmm. it is.
Okay.
Okay. So, like, just as long as we're clear that that's not what's happening here, the person who sent it in, did you want me to say their name now?
I would love you to say their name, Ben.
Well, I'd be more than happy to do so. Just as long as you give me a...
Which one is it and I can find it?
As long as you give me a cue. It was Simon Rogers. Thank you, Simon.
Okay.
This was taken from Reddit. Not a great place in general. This is from some sort of forum on Reddit. I don't know which one. We could probably... There's probably a couple that it could be from, actually. And it, but the text reads like this. The title of the text that compels people to click on it when they're on the website Reddit says, do you still have any pops? And pops is with a capital P, which... But based on context clues from what follows, it means Funko Pops.
Do you have any Funko Pops?
Do you have any pops that were there with you when you lost your virginity?
Oh, no.
So, Carl, no. I should say that this isn't a classified. We've kind of broadened our purview to just text on the internet. So nobody's selling anything there, although maybe an idea. So it finally happened yesterday. I've been talking to this girl on a dating app for a while, and yesterday she came over for the first time. Let's just say we got down and dirty.
Wonderful.
My mind.
Wonderful.
My favorite Iron Man pop was on the shelf while I was getting some action, and I actually looked over at it for a few times just to be sure he would be included in the memory.
Damn.
I never do that. I never do that. I'm going to start doing that.
I was already greatly fond of this pop. Yeah, man. Reckon you were. But I'm feeling a lot more sentimental.
Sentimental?
Now that it has been part of such an incredible experience. I don't think I could ever get rid of it now. Is anyone on here who's had a similar experience? What pops do you still have from when you lost your virginity? Michael Hing, what Funko Pops do you still have from when you lost your virginity?
Right, well, we should just bring everyone in here and explain to them what a Funko Pop is. It is a, I would say, about 25 centimetre to 20 centimetre tall, maybe a 10-inch tall, or no, 8-inch tall little figurine that usually refers to a character from a movie or like a celebrity or something. And they have kind of like a big head. That's kind of their
Yeah, it's shit. Like they have
a big-headed doll.
They have bobblehead dimensions, but the head does not bobble.
Yeah, okay. And they're sort of big in the nerd community.
Yeah.
So Iron Man is like a classic, would be a classic Funko Pop.
Yeah.
I only have...
You have a Funko Pop?
I have a single Funko Pop that was sent to me by when I was working at the video game show, Good Game, the creators of Overwatch, Blizzard Games.
Mm-hmm.
They sent me a Funko Pop of a character called Widowmaker.
Sure.
Who's like a sexy sniper lady.
Uh-huh.
And they sent me that.
So now, when you lost your virginity...
Which was what after I quite recently.
Well, once Widowmaker gave you the confidence to go and seek out a partner.
Here's the thing, okay? Now I don't want to. I want to be careful about the amount of detail I give in here because I don't want to gross anyone out by having to think about me doing anything disgusting. But Widowmaker, the figurine is still in its box and it just sits on my bookshelf, right? I've not really thought about it much.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a pride of place thing. It just sits there on the bookshelf in a in a shelf that's just filled with either like promotional junk I've been sent over the years.
Now,
have I had sex in my room? Yes.
Oh my god, dude! This is not a forum for outrageous boasting. I'm sorry, Carl. You didn't have to hear that.
I can't believe this. Y'all brought me on here to talk about this. This is what y'all got me on here for.
And just the way that my bed is laid out, and the way it faces in the bedroom, have I glimpsed the figure of the Funko Pop Widowmaker?
This is revolting.
While having
and I know
sex.
Your partner, and I know that she sometimes listens to this show.
Yes, I have. Okay, Ben, I have.
Oh my god!
Now, has that affected me at all? I don't think so. I've not consciously thought of it, but I reckon it would have happened. You know.
But you didn't actually like in the way that this man did, sort of set out to like deliberately. What's the thing?
No, I did not. I did not
align it to every time you see it, you get a sense.
I didn't make eye contact with the Funko Pop in order to like sear it to my brain.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just saying it has been there in the room because I own a single Funko Pop.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, have you ever had sex with a Funko Pop in the room?
I've had sex with a Funko Pop, but
sure, okay.
That wasn't your question.
But it wasn't in the room.
it was Telly Dildonics.
Yeah. No, I don't believe I ever have. And can I say that is my bucket list is very safe from having that added to it.
I can see in your background, Carl, you have quite an extensive shoe collection.
Yeah.
Do you collect anything else? Are you a collector of like nerd shit at all? Or
I
like
got hats right here.
Hats and shoes is your thing?
Hats and shoes. I got a bunch of jerseys.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I can see why.
Sports memorabilia type thing. Now, what is there? Can you imagine a scenario where you know you're making love to a person, uh-huh. and they and you glance across and see a pair of shoes or a hat or a jersey, and just searing that into your brain? Or do you feel like really it's kind of taking you out of the moment? You know, and you're not actually there with the person anymore.
It's taking me out of the moment because I'm kind of focusing on other things like. try not to too quickly fill up your water bottle there. you know, I don't think I'd be like, you know, I have done it quite a few times with the television on, and usually it's something that I like to watch, like Family Guy or something
sure.
like that.
Sure.
But that's just incidental. That's not like, you're not sitting down and being like, hey, baby, we've been planning. This is a romantic evening. Yeah. Let's just watch what Peter and Brian are getting up to in this episode.
Let me just real quick put on some Mad TV and see.
I wrote this one.
I wrote this
one. I wrote this one. I wrote this one. Nah, man, I haven't gotten into the Funko Pop thing though.
Not in my
bedroom, at least. Like, I'm not sitting in my bedroom right now. I'm sitting in my secondary room.
Uh-huh. Sure.
I'm not. This is where I, you know, have my.
No one fucks in this room.
No,
this room is specific. This is a virginal room.
This is a virginal room. This is for business.
hey, in the Google Drive I've sent you, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few in there. I was wondering if you might read one out for us.
Okay.
If you don't mind,
let's see what this one is.
You could have either hog semen or dreadlocks or the giraffe one.
I like the giraffe one.
You want to do that one?
If you want to do a hog semen, you go with your heart.
I was looking at dreadlocks, but I'll go dreadlocks.
Oh, yeah, dreadlocks is funny. Dreadlocks is pretty. It's just a guy trying to sell his dreadlocks.
Let's see. But hog semen, I'm a guest. I'll read this for y'all.
No. Go dreadlocks. Dreadlocks is good.
Okay.
I'll throw it to you. Carl, do you have one for us?
Yeah, here's one. I'm selling my locks. Come from a smoke-free home. Clean. I washed them prior to cutting. Also for a good energy and plant-based female. Huh? Mm. Each bundle is $250, between 10 and 12 inches, has 27 in one bundle and 28 locks in the other. Serious inquiries only. I also added pictures of myself before and after the cut. Thank you.
So this is someone selling dreadlocks, Ben.
Okay.
Selling their
not house
dreadlocks.
Because for a while there was some confusion.
No, not a sort of a key and lock. This is a dreadlock, and it's a... I'd say like it's kind of a brownie colored hair with like segments of blonde in there.
Mm-hmm.
This is a healthy plant based female. a good energy plant based female who
says. Oh yes, okay. I get it now. I was like, what? I watched the Price Cutting also from a good energy and plant-based theme. Yeah. Okay, so that means that she's trying to say that her brain waves and her diet is good. And so she's like, I mean, I do know that people make wigs out of hair and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. So
as I've mentioned on the podcast before, I don't know why I mentioned this so often. In fact, it sounds suspicious, like I've got some sort of black market hair trade going on. But hair, pound for pound, is worth more than gold, which is crazy given that it grows on our heads.
Yeah. So this is $250 for 27 or 28 dreadlocks. So this is half a head of dreadlocks you're getting there, half of her dreadlocks. Ben, do you have any interest in buying this?
Well, Michael,
$250 for dreadlocks?
No, I as much as I truly want to yes and that, I have very little interest in buying this woman's hair. Michael, you used to have dreadlocks. When I met you, you had dreadlocks.
I had dreadlocks for about 2 years of my life, which is, in retrospect, very embarrassing. Because I remember Chinese the morning there, and it's very straight and it does not dread easily.
Yeah, I was gonna wait till you explained it, but I was gonna ask, how did you keep them together?
Oh man, with a lot of wax. So Carl, there was a time in my life, in my early 20s, around the time that you were buying around the age you were when you were buying a 2000 Toyota Corolla.
I apologize. I will leave this Zoom right now.
Corolla.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Tart. I had my best friend from kindy, from primary school, all the way through to high school. He and I had this agreement because we used to be huge Bob Marley fans when we were like kids. We decided when we were like year one, grade one or whatever, that we were going to grow dreadlocks and go to Jamaica. That was just a thing we always wanted to do, which is, you know, I'm a Chinese kid growing up in Illawong. He's a white kid growing up in Warrandora. You know, there's not a lot of like.
I will say, Michael, that there's like a lot of shit that I did that I thought I'd be doing in year one that I never followed through with. These contracts are not ironclad.
They're not binding. No. Yeah. But when we were in uni, we decided to do it. So we spent like a year growing dreadlocks, and then we went to sort of Mexico, Cuba, and Jamaica on a holiday. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I'd spent a year growing these dreadlocks, and I just kept them, Ben. Mm-hmm. And that was when I met you.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of wax is the answer to your question.
So you that never got its own like. Funk, you know what I mean? Like that would never stay. Like regardless, because my understanding of how it works is after a while, the hair just gets so kind of tangled and stuff that you don't do anything to it. That's the kind of point.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. So you can't wash your hair with shampoo because it softens the hair too much.
Uh-huh. If you are not African American.
That's true. Sorry, this is
not African American. African. I forget that I'm not talking to. If you're not black.
This is speaking from a Chinese person's experience, to be clear. So, like, you can't use shampoo. You've got to use a thing called soap. Oh, you've got to use a thing called dreadlock soap, which, like, harshens up the hair or whatever. Uh-huh. And then you have this, like, kind of waxy thing that you, like, roll in your hands. So this is, like...
Having to do all of this and get special soap and go out of your way to do... Did none of this suggest to you that this might not be for you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. In my core, I think I knew it was a bad idea. I think I know it was a bad idea, Ben. I regret it deeply. But this was like 2005-ish around then. It's a while ago. I reckon I had them for about two and a bit years. And in that time, the only kind of interesting thing that happened to me was other people who had dreadlocks would sort of give you a nice nod when you walked down the street. That was a fun thing that would occasionally happen. And obviously people really liked getting photos of you with you when they were offering you marijuana, because that's like a fun thing people enjoy. They're like smoking weed with someone with dreadlocks. But there was also a kind of person who I would say like a kind of a real free spirit, a real free spirited person, or someone who thought of themselves as a free spirited, who wanted to like, who was attracted to you mostly for the dreadlocks and for nothing else. Mm-hmm. And obviously because my personality isn't particularly... dreadlock adjacent. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not broadly speaking, a big hippie. They would see the dreadlocks and be like, he's the one for me. And then after about 7 minutes of talking to me, would completely lose interest in me.
Yeah.
They said, be like, this guy is, oh boy.
But what a 7 minutes they were. You just saying that about getting like kind of like friendly nods on the street from, I assume, like other people who had dreadlocks and sort of, I don't know, you didn't say it, but in your voice, you kind of felt like you kind of wilted a bit inside because that was the company you were keeping. That is the exact, that is the exact feeling I have now whenever I'm vaping and somebody who also vapes kind of walks past and kind of gives me a little tip of their vape. And I like, it's everything. It takes everything to be like, we are not the same, but we are the same, right?
Do you have one of those big ass ones that's like...
No, I got a little coward
a
pen.
A trumpet?
Oh. Carl, would you have any use for these dreadlocks? Would you pay $250 for someone else's used dreadlocks?
Listen, I don't think I would... I don't like anything used. Like, I don't like anything...
The Camry has just destroyed you for used.
It's destroyed me. Everything else I buy, brand new. I've just recently gotten a Golf over our lockdown because it was a easy and safe way to go outside. And people are like, just get you a set of used clubs off of Let Go. I said, no, I'm not buying anything used anymore. So the dreadlocks that I'm going to buy, they're going to be new, okay? Brand new dreadlocks.
Factory made.
Yeah.
How's your golf game? Have you gotten quite good at golf over the lockdown?
You know, I cannot, I'm not going to put too many extras on how I play, but I, for a person who has only played as much as I have, which is about a year now, I do play pretty well. That's because, cool. I grew up playing sports and stuff, so it doesn't take much for me to pick up one and fake my way to the top. but it definitely is still a very frustrating sport. But I got my fundamentals down enough now where I can go out and play and not be like embarrassed, if you know what I mean.
I think you're right though the pandemic and stuff is gonna like see a huge uptick in golf stuff.
Oh, it was huge. Yeah. It was huge here. Everybody was playing. There was never like when they allowed us back out to do outdoor activities. There was never any tee times available. Everybody was on the golf course all day long. Mm. Yeah.
It's kind of like what we're going through right now with picnics, Ben. I walked past a park yesterday, the first weekend that people were allowed to have picnics in our city.
Absolutely.
And it was packed with people enjoying their picnics and just drinking in the park.
Yeah, which is going to be, it's going to be interesting if this uptick in picnics precipitates an uptick in mischievous bears.
The picnic baskets and whatnot.
I really like that joke, you guys. I really
are you talking about like
Yogi Bear?
Yogi
yeah.
Bear.
Yeah.
Would he steal the picnic baskets or would they steal his picnic? I can't.
Oh, what the fuck are you talking about? That was like 90% of his dialogue.
I haven't watched a Yogi Bear cartoon. I'm more of a snack.
Wait, do you think Yogi Bear would just have picnics and then humans would steal his picnic baskets?
Yeah. That's what I thought it was.
In Bizarro World, maybe. What a terrifying dystopia you're painting here.
Wait, did you also say you're more of a Snagglepuss person?
Yeah. Oh, man, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
I think I left one detail out of my story with y'all.
Oh, yeah.
That car
oh, yeah.
was not single owner. When I finally checked the Carfax after, it had been owned by four people. And it had been in two crucial accidents.
Do you think you'll ever tell I know you haven't told your stepdad about this, but will you ever tell him about this?
No.
Will ever enough time have passed for you to be like, hey, just so you know?
I've gone through like four cars. I have been fortunate and blessed enough to have bought my mother and brother a car. And I still will not tell him that.
Carl, you're one of the all-time great podcasters. You have a podcast yourself.
Yeah.
About NBA basketball called The Flagrant Ones. Mm-hmm. How can people find that?
You can go to patreon.com/TheFlagrantOnes. It's not just that one. It's a whole network now. You can get episodes of Hollywood Handbook if you like that. Do you guys listen to Hollywood Handbook over there?
Yeah. I don't know if you do. I find it like I find it very funny, and then occasionally too weird and mean for me to decrypt. And I'm like, man, why are they? These guys are awful to each other. And I get that it's a bit, but also, oh boy.
Nah, they're great guys. But those are the homies. I do the show with Hayes Davenport and Sean Clements. I also have a show that I host on the same network called Carl Calls His Cousin, where me and my cousin Hassan just have a general conversation about anything at all. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes in between. But you can just listen to us shoot the shit. That's fun. You can also get, I think, Masterclass is coming back on there, people like that with those guys. And Flagrant Ones is not all about basketball. A lot of people ask all the time, well, I'm not a basketball fan. Would this podcast be for me? Yes, it's for you. If you like the boys, if you like me, you'll like the show. And we talk about basketball a little bit. We get into our basketball bag a little bit. We do a lot of shitting on Joe Ingles because it's fuck Joe Ingles all day long. And if y'all got a problem with it, you can come see me too.
And just before we get out of here, do you want to tell us the name of the movie that banned you because of your COVID thing so we don't go and see it?
I can't tell you, but I leave very cryptic hints to it on my Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram at DammitCarl, DammitCarl.
Excellent.
But I cannot tell you the name of it.
Go see if you can solve the mystery of the film that to not see out of spite and solidarity.
It's a cat of a certain color, and it's the second installment of it.
Sure. It was Snagglepuss a cat? I'm trying to work it out
it's
now.
It's Snagglepuss too.
Ben, what have you got going on this week?
Oh, man, I got another week off work, so I'm just going to be hanging out with my mean little Russian boy. And Michael, do you have anything? When does your TV show come out?
October 2nd. Okay. Letters and Numbers, the Celebrity Letters and Numbers debuts on SBS October 2nd and then Saturday nights for the rest of the year. Go and watch that. You'll be able to get it at SBS On Demand as well as live on television. Anyway, that's enough podcast for today. Thank you so much and we'll catch you all next week.
Bye! If you like pina colada,
when you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.